America needs defenders in every place, in every generation, in our time. Respect for the right to life calls us to defend the sick and the dying, persons with disabilities and birth defects, and all who are weak and vulnerable. And this self-evident truth calls us to value and to protect the lives of innocent children waiting to be born.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Eagle's Eye Report. This is episode 9 on Wednesday, June 29th, 2022. I am your host, Roger Landry, TLB, and my co-host and producer, which makes him the most important person on this show, is my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who we will get to in just a moment. First off, I need to tell everybody that this is, and for those of you who actually got the word and jumped in, this is a 90-minute show today. And the reason it's a 90-minute show today is there is no way in hell I could possibly get all of the information out I want to get out in 60 minutes. So, for all of you who are listening, please remember, and for all of you who may be jumping in late, and you're obviously not listening to me say this, but if anybody comes to you and says, hey, it started 30 minutes in, just let them know that, as usual, this will be embedded in a article tomorrow on thelibertybeacon.com no later than noon Central Time. So whomsoever jumps in late today, we can let them know, and obviously they know that there's an article published. They will be able to listen to the entire show. All right. Part of the reason why this show is 90 minutes today, why it's a special, is the title. And it's not because of the title. It's because of what the title represents. And what's the title? The title is Big Pharma and Child Abuse. Now, you all know for a fact, I don't say things like this lightly. I really don't. And am I willing to back up what I say? You know I am. I'm probably more willing to back up what I say than just about anybody you've ever met. Anybody who knows anything about Roger, and I've been around this game for almost 14 years now, knows for a fact that all I do every single day without a day off in over 12 years is research. Every single day. For anywhere from a short day for me is 16 hours, a long day is 18 to 19 hours. And yes, Roger does get a few hours of sleep, and no, I won't apologize for that. And I do eat, but most of the time I eat while I'm working or researching. So when I say something like Big Pharma and Child Abuse, is it grandstanding? Well, the title could have been a little bit softer, but there's no need for that. Once we get into the show, we get into the information, you're going to understand the title. It's going to become readily apparent why Roger picked that title. Okay. The mission of this show, as usual, is to be a mechanism for communicating truths and facts. That's what we were just talking about. And doing it in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. No, as I say weekly, this is not a pleasant way to introduce the show, but today's reality is blatant and not very pleasant in many aspects. That's the reason for Eagle's Eye Report in the first place. This show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio, our thanks to Annie, and also on PSN Radio and Sopla Radio, and our appreciation to both of those platforms as well. I don't say that often enough. Believe me, we do appreciate both of you. And Stephen, how are you today? Would you say hello to the audience, please?
I'm doing good. A little tired, but I'm here and I'm doing good.
Well, we're glad you're here. Stephen is, as everybody pretty much knows by now, but I'm going to tell you again anyway, Stephen is my co-host and the producer. Now, if he was just the co-host, he wouldn't be the most important person in the show. If he was just a producer, he probably wouldn't be the most important person in the show. But when you're the co-host and the producer, you're the most important person in the show. And Stephen, we really do appreciate you. Thank you. All right. Now, Again, our mission is to keep you armed with the vital truth, as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss this vital truth or these vital truth issues without fear of censorship or exclusion. That, I don't know, that being the sponsor of this show, which is TLBTalk.com. TLBTalk.com is a social media platform. It is part of the Liberty Beacon Project, which I started about 12 years ago. And it is a social media platform that, unless you are breaking the law or being so obscene or vulgar, it's insane, you can say anything you want. It is an absolute fact. You can say anything you wish to say in a respectful fashion and in a non-vulgar or profane fashion. I need to tell everybody out there, we firmly believe in your ability to exercise your First Amendment rights. First Amendment always says to you, you will have the ability to say. What it never guarantees you is an audience. That's up to you. So if you don't do your homework and crap comes out of your mouth, or you say things that does nothing but get people angry at you, don't blame us because you don't have an audience. But if you have a word you wish to get out, you know how to be respectful. You don't have to be profane. We have the best platform on the planet. Come and talk. People will listen. The size of your audience depends on what you are going to put out. One more time, I will tell you, especially since we have this 90-minute special, this will be embedded in an article tomorrow, Thursday, by noon central. Okay? Anybody who jumps in late will have the ability to listen to the entire show and have it embedded in an article. So, what I want to do is I want to get into this topic. Again, the title of the show, Big Pharma and Child Abuse. So let's start this off with a preface, okay? If ever we are approached by danger or violence on just about any level, who is the first to be protected? To be hustled off into a safe area, or to be worried over with the utmost attention and focus? That would, of course, be any children present, be there ours or not. For most normal adults, this is very close to an instinctive action. Again, we're not talking about not normal adults here, nor are we talking about pedophiles. We're talking about a vast majority of normal people. All right? And it's being so close to automatic, this reaction, that it is difficult to even remember any forethought involved. Danger equals protect the children. And for the most part, 98% or better, we do. Let me give you, for instance, if a child is playing in the street and a car suddenly turns the corner and is bearing down on them at a speed that leaves said child frozen in fear, a vast majority of adults would almost instinctively rush out into the street to push that child out of the path of the onrushing vehicle. You can picture this in your head. You know I'm telling you the truth. And they would do this even at the probable expense of their own safety or life, and not even think about it. To any sane adult, our children are the most precious asset and the very future of humanity. So to act in any other fashion is not really acceptable as a societal or a personal norm. The first thing we do, instinctively almost, okay? And with females, maybe it is even instinctively. I'm not quite sure about that. They call it the female instinct. But anyway, the first thing we do is think about protecting those children. I don't care if you're not even crazy about kids. You're going to react in pretty much the same fashion. Humanity understands that our future is our children, and we act accordingly. Yet today we will discuss an entity mainly trusted by a very large portion of humanity that not only totally disregards this premise, but specifically and knowingly puts our very youngest, I'm talking about our babies and our toddlers in harm's way as a matter of business and profit. Yes, this is done knowingly and with foreknowledge by being the original source of the research clearly stating that these very actions are harmful and quite possibly even deadly to our babies and children. Let me say that again. Yes, this is done knowingly and with foreknowledge by being the original source of the research clearly stating that these very actions are harmful and quite possibly even deadly to our babies or children. No, I'm not exaggerating. No, I'm not pushing fear porn. I'm not doing this to make a personal point or to grandstand a situation that doesn't warrant it. As a matter of fact, if anything, my pulpit isn't high enough and my bullhorn isn't loud enough. But we're going to dig into that real quick. Any comments from my phenomenal co-host before we do? What about you, Steve?
Well, two comments, actually, Roger. I know a lot of places over in Europe, the word child abuse means something different than what it does here in America.
Yes.
It basically over there means sexual abuse.
Yes.
I know a man also that's about 72, 73 years old. He spent 40 years working at the YMCA, but he spent most of his life as a seven-year-old because that's actually what he did when he was 7 years old. His little sister was out playing in the street. There was a car coming down the road, and he ran out there in the middle of the street and pushed her out of the way, and he got hit.
Yes. And the thing of it is, that is pretty much instinctive to a lot of people. And it is more, actually, it's actually less of a thought process the older you get.
Right.
So, yes. And I do understand what you're talking about when you talk about Europe. I spent a lot of time in Europe. I spent, out of 30 years that I worked for the doing DOD contracts, Department of Defense contracts, I probably spent 75 to 80% of every single year outside of the country. So I do understand that. But again, we're speaking mostly here to an American audience. When we talk about child abuse, we talk about just about anything that abuses the safety or the viability of a child. Okay. Does pedophilia, which I did bring up initially, stating we're not talking about that in this case, do these things constitute child abuse? Yes, they do. Absolutely. But to qualify this, because you make a good point, Steve, we're going to talk about physical harm, and we're not going to talk about sexual harm here. We're going to talk about physically harming our children knowingly. Okay, so let's dig into this massive and unforgivable tyranny. Today's discussion is based on something that was published by Dr. McCullough, and this would probably be the second time you've all heard me say that. A lot of people ask me lately, well, this guy's a doctor. Why is he talking so much about politics and stuff lately? Okay, Roger worked for the military-industrial complex, and what does he talk about mostly? An evil government. If it wasn't for the government, Roger wouldn't have earned a living for 30 years. If it wasn't for the government, if it wasn't for the military, and we could go on and on. Just because you have a profession or a fashion in which you support yourself and your family doesn't mean you can't think outside of that box. Dr. McCullough is one of these people who can think well into the political realm, who can think well into the sociological realm, who can think well into the medical realm, and I could go on. He is an intelligent individual. And what we're going to discuss is loosely based on, because you all know that I'm going to literally put my two cents in quite often, what I learned, what I know, what I believe, and what I believe he said needs to be emphasized. But the title of the article, the original article, is Why Big Pharma is Desperate to Get COVID Jabs into Our Babies. No. I'm not going to read that again, because what you just got isn't, oh my God, that's what this is all about. My title, if you remember, was a little bit more restricted so that it wouldn't get kicked off a lot of forums like Facebook or whatever, okay? Or Shadowban. My title is Big Pharma and Child Abuse. Is it basically the same thing? He's saying yes, but he puts more detail in there. And once I get into the heart of an article or into the heart of a show, then I can tell you his title, okay? Because it's pretty much buried at this point. Let me say it again. Dr. Mercola's title of the article, a lot of this, maybe about 40 or 50% of this is based on, is why Big Pharma is desperate to get the COVID jab into babies. And there will be a link to that article in the show tomorrow. I mean, in the article tomorrow that this show is embedded in. Okay. So yes, that's the actual title. And I'm sure you may now have a much clearer understanding of why I chose this article to base this show on. And yes, the link will be embedded. I'll say that again in an article tomorrow. Please read the entire article. There are also five phenomenal videos in that article, each and every one worth watching. As usual, my commentary, opinion, and understandings will also be a part of this presentation. So let's start out here. Let's get into the meat of it. There is an opening here that everybody needs to hear. I have been telling you over and over again for I can't even imagine how long now that our children should never be vaccinated because the amount of danger they are in from COVID is so small that in most cases, it's something you shouldn't even be worried about. But yet most people don't believe Roger because Roger doesn't have a degree. What they don't understand is Roger does more research than most people who do have a degree. And he does it every single day of his life for years on end, well over a decade, without one single day off. So let's get into an opening that I'm sure is going to make you go, what? Here we go. Statistics show the rate of COVID-associated hospitalization among children aged 5 to 11 is, listen to me, 0.0008%. I'm going to tell you that again, okay? Statistics show, they prove, these statistics prove over time the rate of COVID-associated hospitalization among children aged 5 to 11 is 0.0008%, all right? Deaths are even more rare. Basically, what that tells you is that your child is in a whole lot more danger riding in the backseat of your car than they are of dying from COVID or even going to the hospital from COVID. Your child is in much more danger riding that bicycle you bought for them than they are of getting COVID or going to the hospital for COVID. Your child is in much more danger of swallowing that peach pit and choking to death than going to the hospital or dying from COVID. Are you all catching that point? 0.0008%. That means it almost does not exist at all. That is such a small number, it is insane. Okay? In real world terms, that's so close to zero, you basically can't lower it any further. Yet despite such reassuring data, children in this age group are urged to get 2 to 3 doses of the COVID jab, even though side effects of the injection would harm them for life or kill them. In other words, listen to me. It is a fact that the supposed cure is far more dangerous to these children than the disease could or would ever be. Are you going to never, ever allow your child to ride in your car again? Are you going to take the bicycle away from your child? Are you never going to let your child eat a peach again? But how many of you are going to take your child out to get vaccinated, which has a much higher chance of doing damage to your child? It is a fact that the supposed cure is far more dangerous to these children than the disease would ever be. Okay. As if the situation were not bad enough already, on, well, actually, before I get into this, do you have anything to say about that? Because that's a pretty blatant statement, Steve.
No. They, you know, they have to go after the current generation because they absolutely know that they're losing most of the people your age and my age and in the 40s.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're right. So let's saunter on through this, because if you think I've hit a crescendo, the wave is just starting to rise. All right. As if this situation were not bad enough already, June 15th of this year, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA's Vaccine Advisory Panel, the Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee, VRBPAC, unanimously approved 21-0 to grant authorization for emergency use, EUA, of both Pfizer and Moderna shots for infants and young children. Infants! Now we're talking about babies and toddlers. Okay. That's not making you sick. I don't know what is. I just showed you, I just gave you the statistics telling you beyond a shadow of a doubt that these kids are in so little danger. There are a myriad of different things that they are immersed in on a daily basis that would stand a much higher chance of putting them in the hospital or killing them. But again, are you never going to take your child in your car again? Are you going to take the bike away from your five-year-old kid? Are you never going to give your baby a peach again? Because if you do any of these things, you're guilty of something that's even more deadly, okay, than the COVID is to them. But yet, they need to have the world's most deadly pharmaceutical product for something that they stand little to no chance at all of ever being hurt from. This is the reality we're living in. Let's go back to the name of the show. Big Pharma Child Abuse. We're getting there. Believe me, we are. There was a reporter, okay? His name is Toby Rogers. I like the fact that his last name is Rogers. Has a ring to it. Reporter Toby Rogers, who sat through the entire 9-hour day of the recent VRBPAC meeting. The day before that meeting, on June 14th, and the meeting was on June 15th, Rogers published a written summary of Pfizer's trial, their trial on young children, which he referred to as an embarrassment. This is a reporter, okay, who did the research on the trials, the vaccine trials for these young kids. And he said it was an embarrassment. Then he sits through this entire 9-hour meeting where all of them, 21-0, voted unanimously that they should, that these vaccine companies should be allowed to stick your children with these needles. Okay? Any VRBPAC member who votes yes on this junk science application should be removed from his or her job, he wrote. We're going back to Toby Roberts. Okay, all of them did. Apparently, they all need to go. Now, we're not just going to go on the word of Toby Rogers. I've already given you statistics that should have your ears all perked up. They should have you sitting on the edge of your seat, but we're just starting. VRBPAC members have a sacred duty to protect public health. That's their only reason for existence, is to protect your health. Okay? If you stop to consider, who do they work for? The FDA. What does the FDA exist for? To make sure the food and the drugs that we utilize are there to help us, that the ramifications of taking these is not worse than the possibility of what they're trying to keep you from getting or curing you from. VRBPAC members, again, have a sacred duty to protect public health. Okay? And they're being flippant about it. They're ignoring data. They're ignoring the pleas of the vaccine injured. They're ignoring serious questions. They're ignoring everything except the flimsiest bits and pieces upon which their narrative is built. A narrative that doesn't hold up anything. As a matter of fact, VRBPAC members, all of them, even refuse to answer questions that lawmakers put to them. The VRBPAC members aren't even swayed by concerns from lawmakers. They simply ignored their questions. Who do I mean when I say lawmakers? Talking about senators, talking about congressmen, who have asked these FDC VRBPAC members, this committee, over and over again, why? And they refuse to make any answers whatsoever. I'm going to throw something in here that most of you probably don't want to hear, but it's a fact. It may explain a little bit to you as to why we get these type of reactions from what we feel is a government agency hell-bent on protecting our health. How many of you are aware that both the CDC, the FDA, and I could give you a list as long as my arm, are not government agencies? They are private corporations. You've never been told that, have you? They absolutely are. They own patents. Yeah. Talk to Fauci about that. How many patents does he have a piece of? That's supposed to be a government organization. If it's a government organization, you don't own patents.
I knew
that. This, yeah, I know you knew that. But this is what we're facing. Okay. Everybody's thinking that this is a government agency and they've got to do what we tell them to do and they've got to be there to protect us. When in fact, they're there to make a profit. They are there to profit off of who? Off of you. And the grandstanding they do to make you believe that you are everything that means anything to them, we're showing you, is in fact a lie. All 21 members of this committee, this VRBPAC committee, voted unanimously to allow these vaccines to be issued to babies and toddlers. Why? There is no reason on this planet any baby or toddler should ever get the most dangerous and deadly vaccine or even pharmaceutical agent ever administered to humanity. Unless there's something for them to gain. And we're getting into that. Now remember, they won't even answer questions from our congressmen or our senators. They refuse. Let's talk about Dr. Claire Craig, who is a diagnostic pathologist. Okay, and this doctor points out that out of the 4,526 children, well, actually, I think I'm going to hold on to that because we're coming up on a break, aren't we, Steve?
Yes, we are. I just looked at the clock.
And this is going to be more than 2-minute conversation. So let me talk this way into the break. I started this off by saying, Big Pharma and child abuse. Are you starting to get the gist? Okay. There is no reason on this planet to give these children these vaccines. We know that they will do more harm than they could possibly do aid to these children. We'll get into what that means to this whole scenario a little bit later. But at this point, you should already agree with the title. What we're going to get into over the next hour will amplify this times 10. And I'm ready to go out to break anytime you are, Steve.
All right.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tldtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Okay, thank you for playing that for us, Stephen, and for everybody listening. Again, if these are the things you wish to talk about, you're not going to talk about this on Facebook. You're not going to talk about this on YouTube. You're not going to talk about this on Twitter. But you are going to talk about this on TLB Talk. So give it a shot. Go see what's there. Make yourself – and you know what? I strongly suggest to you, if you're the type of person who has these type of discussions with friends – okay, and your friends are scattered across the country, and every time you seem to do this, you have a group that gets into trouble, you have a page that gets shut down, so on and so forth. Go over to TLB Talk and start a group, or start a blog/page, whatever you want to call it, a blog or a page, because you have the same capability that you would on Facebook to do that. Then bring your friends over, even if the only reason they're there is to be a part of that group, even if that's the only reason they start a membership. That was the reason for us putting it there in the first place. Take your friends, take your associates, take the people you wish to educate, take the people you wish to learn from, and start a group on TLB Talk and do exactly what nobody else is going to let you do. And I will be very proud of each and every one of you, because that is what's necessary today. So just before the break, we were talking about Dr. Claire Craig, who is a diagnostic pathologist, and points out that out of the 4,526 children aged 6 months to 4 years who participated in Pfizer's trial. So yes, there was a vaccine trial for 4,500 plus children age 6 months to 4 years, babies to toddlers. Roger doesn't lie to you, okay? 4,500 of our tiny little children were put through a vaccine trial. I would really like to meet their parents long enough to slap them upside the head. Would I cripple them for life? No. But I would get so much satisfaction out of backhanding them, you wouldn't believe it. Okay, so these six-month-old to 4 years old participated in a Pfizer trial. Now, let me tell you a statistic that ought to bring this to the front of your brain even more. 3,000 of them didn't make it to the end of the trial. Out of 4,500, 3,000 of them didn't make it to the end of the trial. Why did two-thirds of the children drop out of the trial? Well, if you've done any homework or you've gone and done any research on vaccine trials or other pharmaceutical trials, oftentimes this happens when the side effects from the drug or the pharmaceutical whatever that's being used were too severe for the participants to continue. I'm going to tell you that again. 3,000 of 4,500 dropped out. That's two-thirds of the children that were in this trial. Oftentimes, this happens when the side effects are too severe for the participant to continue. Here, we don't know why two-thirds of the participants were eliminated. But on that basis alone, this trial should be deemed null and void. If you're telling me that out of 4,500, 3,000 had to be taken out of the trial
because of reactions to whatever was being used in the trial, in this case, COVID-19 vaccinations. How the hell can you give me any credit to that vaccine at all? How can you call it safe and effective? How can you call it anything but a disaster? But let's go on. Let's talk about unscientific and unethical behavior. As noted by the vaccine, would you like to say something, Steve, before we go on?
No, you're okay. I can tell you got a bit of a stuff to add, but.
I definitely do. And I apologize to everybody for that. But again, Roger's usually either got a bad throat, a stuffed up head, or whatever. Roger doesn't take care of himself very well. Roger researches every day, 16 to 18 hours a day. So if you can put up with an occasional sniffle or me clearing my throat or coughing, then I much appreciate you. All right. Unscientific and unethical behavior is where we were going. Okay. As noted by the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation, vaccinating infants and children who have, listen to me, who have no need for the shots and don't benefit from them just to protect adults violates medical ethics. Okay, I need to explain that just a little bit. One of the reasons Big Pharma will give you that these babies and these infants, these toddlers, okay, need to be vaccinated with the most deadly pharmaceutical agent on the planet is because if they're carrying COVID, sure, it may not hurt them, but maybe you'll catch it. So we're going to put your child's life in danger because they might have COVID and you might get it. This is the reasoning. That right there, okay? That right there, if you ask me, and if you ask a medical ethics board, will tell you flat out it violates medical ethics standards. That's not a joke. That's an absolute fact. That's something that can't be done, but that's one of the excuses that was fed to the public after this 21-0 vote from the FDA panel to start jabbing your babies and your toddlers. My God. Okay. It's all about securing indemnification. In other words, basically taking the liability away from these manufacturers, Big Pharma. Now, you're all asking, well, what does one have to do with the other? And when that was first put to me, it's all about securing indemnification. I always have trouble saying that. What does one have to do with the other? So, how can I explain the irrational behavior of the FDA and the CDC? Why don't any of the data matter? Why doesn't the science matter? The science being that these children are in no danger unless they get a shot. Why doesn't the data matter? How many of them got the shot, had to be removed from the trials? Okay. 75% of them, 66% of them had to be removed. Why? Because the reactions they were having to the vaccines, and this is when they're under the maximum amount of, I'm looking at you, had to be removed from the trials because their reactions to those vaccines were so bad, they couldn't continue. Why didn't the data matter? Why didn't the science matter? Why don't any of the red flags that came up from that matter? And why are they handing out EAUs, emergency use authorizations, when the criteria aren't satisfied? Oh my goodness. We're talking about emergency use authorization, but how many of you know the criteria that needs to be satisfied in order to qualify for emergency use authorization. Okay, I'm going to give you the basics so that you can once again understand just how bad this actually is. In order to qualify for EAU status, products must satisfy four criteria. All right, there must be an emergency. A vaccine must be at least 30% to 50% effective. The known and potential benefits of the product must outweigh the known and potential risks of the product. There can be no adequate approved and available alternative treatments, drugs, or vaccines. That's what they mean by alternative treatments. Let's go over those, okay? Let's talk about that. Unless all four criteria are met, an EAU cannot be granted or maintained. Yet here we are. COVID, by any reasonable measure, is no longer an emergency. We know that to be a fact. It's being trumpeted all over the planet as an emergency, but we know it's not. Anybody with half a brain, and most of this people in this country are tired of it, and they have at least half a brain or more. They know that COVID is no longer an emergency. There's one down. There are plenty of adequate alternative treatments and potential benefits in no way, shape, or form outweigh potential risks. Anybody ever hear of ivermectin? Anybody ever hear of hydroxychloroquine? And there are several others. These are known to be more effective than the vaccines. They are known to be. So it says that, you know, they're one of number four was there can be no adequate approved and available alternative treatments. They don't meet that one. The known and potential benefits of the product must outweigh the known and potential risks of the product. Your child's chance of dying from COVID, unless they're vaccinated, are less than 0.0008. That's the statistic for them going to the hospital. It may be 0.00008 for them to die. But yet, you're going to give them something we know is causing myocarditis in children, something we know is paralyzing children, something we know is causing heart problems, something we know is causing, and I could go over and over and over again with the known side effects to children of this vaccine. So there is virtually no chance any child is going to die from this, but there is a huge chance that many children are either going to die or be harmed for life from this. So there's another one down. Okay. Now we've got three out of four. There is no emergency. That was one. The potential benefits do not outweigh the potential risk. That's two. And there are adequate, approved, and available alternative treatments to the vaccine that do not have the deadly side effects that the vaccine does. That's three. Now, for all of you out there that are saying, well, you know, the vaccine must be at least 30 to 50% effective. That's one that they actually counted as, okay, that may be one out of the four that's actually met. But all four are required to be met in order to be granted EAU status. We already know three of them can't be met. Let's talk about the fourth one. Let's talk about that for a minute. A vaccine must be at least 30 to 50% effective. I'm going to explain to you what a vaccine is, okay? A vaccine is a component that is injected into the body with a controlled amount of a known virus. And in a lot of cases, it's a dead virus. But the body still reacts to that dead virus in such a fashion where it builds, and in some cases, vaccines use a live virus as well. But what the body does, and since it's such a small amount, is it puts together troops, soldiers. This is called an immune system. It's called immunity. It builds an army against this known virus. It builds an army against this known virus so that if the body is ever exposed to this virus again in the future, one, it will keep the body from picking that virus up again. It will be fought off. The virus will not enter the body. Or if it does, it'll be gone so fast, it might as well not have. If this happens, two, your body cannot store that virus. And three, if your body cannot store that virus, then you cannot transmit that virus. One, you're not going to get it. Two, your body's not going to store it. Three, you're not going to give it to anybody because your body can't store it. Okay. When did they redefine the term vaccine? Because Roger has done 10 times more research than any doctor, unless this is a doctor who researches vaccines, any MD, any general practitioner on the planet. Roger has written well over 500 well-researched vaccine articles. Roger's done at least 500 shows in the past 10 to 12 years on vaccines. You're not going to find a whole lot of people who know more about vaccines than I do. These are the three requirements you need for something to qualify as a vaccine. Yet today, the COVID-19 jab is classified as a vaccine. You want to know why I just raised my voice and why I just got so angry? These are things that have been admitted by the CDC and the FDA. Okay? The COVID vaccines will not keep your body from getting the virus. The COVID vaccine, I'm going to use the word because everybody understands what I'm talking about when I do. They're not vaccines. So it won't keep your body from getting it. It won't keep your body from storing it. Thus, if your body can store it, you can give it to somebody else. So what we're talking about is something that is non-effective. Okay, unless the four criteria we've just talked about are met, emergency authorized usage cannot be granted or maintained. Yet, again, here we are, COVID. By any reasonable measurement, is no longer an emergency. There are plenty of adequate alternative treatments, and the potential benefits in no way, shape, or form outweigh the potential risk, especially not in infants and children under five. That's three out of the four criteria clearly not met, and I just explained to you how the other one is. You can't call this a vaccine at all. It says a vaccine must be at least 30 to 50% effective. Explain to me if I can still get the virus. Explain to me if my body can still store it. Explain to me if I can still transmit it. And explain to me why a vast majority of the people in Israel and other countries across the planet who are in the hospital or dying from quote unquote COVID are fully vaccinated. So in my eyes, all four of the criteria that are required for emergency use authorization cannot be met. They can't. The short answer to the question is why? I don't even want to go here, but I'm going to. Okay? Because so much trust has been put into these two organizations. No, the FDA and the CDC are not government organizations. They're not. They're private corporations. But you don't believe that because you haven't done the homework on that yet. When you do, you're going to find out, as usual, Roger is not lying. Okay? The short answer to the question as to why are the CDC and the FDA acting so irrationally is that both agencies are corrupt to the core and are no longer in the business of protecting public health. They aren't. They are securing profits for the drug industry, who they are partnered with. They are getting EUA, emergency use authorization, for infants and young children. This is a crucial step towards securing permanent legal indemnity. Stop and think about what I just said. The CDC and the FDA, who have the ability to own patents, have the ability to collect profits, are not, by that very definition alone, okay, government agencies. So they are as corrupt as you could possibly get, corrupt to the core, and are no longer in the business of protecting health. What is the mission of the CDC? What is the mission of the FDA? They only have one mission, and that is to ensure that diseases are treated properly and controlled in the United States in a fashion that benefits the health of we the people who supposedly pay, and we do pay, for those organizations. Okay? That's the CDC. The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, their job is to ensure that any drugs or any foods that are put in front of us are proven beyond a shadow of a doubt to help, to aid, and not to be more damaging merely for profit than they are beneficial. Both of these are failing so blatantly, it's insane. If anything I just said to you means anything at all, and I dare anybody to prove even one thing I said wrong, I double dog dare you. You can go to the Liberty Beacon tomorrow. You can go to the article and you can put any proof you have. And if you'll do it, I'll kiss your butt on Broadway at high noon and let you sell tickets. Nothing I've said to you is wrong, is overstated, which tells us blatantly that your children are being put in harm's way for the benefit of Big Pharma and their partners. No, not the CDC and the FDA. Government agencies, their corporate partners, the CDC and the FDA, who own patents that they share with the pharmaceutical industry, who do the research for the pharmaceutical industry so that the pharmaceutical industry can make products that they both benefit from. It's not a joke. What I just told you is exactly the way it goes. How do I know that? Go to the Liberty Beacon. Put in the search bar at the top, Roger Landry, hit enter. What you will find is I was writing articles about this happening 10 years ago. But there weren't enough people dying then. And it wasn't affecting our children at the level it's affecting them today. And now it's all the way down to our babies. 6-month-old, our babies. Yeah. Again. These agencies are securing profits for the drug industry and getting emergency use authorization for infants and young children is a crucial step towards securing permanent legal indemnity for drug makers, meaning they can't be sued. No matter who dies, no matter how many die, no matter what the circumstances they die under, you can't sue them. That's already the case with just about every vaccine out there. And one of these days, I'll do a show on the death and destruction of vaccines over the last 50 years, and it will blow your mind. But as usual, I'll come with facts and figures. Okay.
I've got a question.
Oh, Steve, please. I need to take a breath here.
I don't believe in the germ theory. I lean towards the terrain theory as far as viruses and that goes, but people do get sick when they go places, and they must be bacterial infections that they come back with.
Well, what gets me, and again, I'm not going to sit here and debate this with you because that would take up the rest of the show. What I do understand exactly what you believe. And in a lot of cases, it makes a lot of sense. What doesn't make a lot of sense is if you have 6 kids and 5 of them are perfectly healthy, but one of them was at school and was exposed in their class to somebody who came down with the measles. And that kid comes home and you have five other children at home, and you've got parents that say, well, we're not going to go through this one at a time. So what they do is they purposely make them drink out of the same glass. They purposely put them in the same room to watch TV. They purposely expose one to the other. And then within a 24 to 36 hour period, you now have six children with the same thing. If you can tell me how that works for the terrain, then that would make a whole lot more sense to me. The terrain theory does have a lot of good aspects to it. So I'm not telling you that I think you're crazy. I don't think you are. But at the same time, there has to be some reality to viruses because contagious is a reality. It is. Sure. I know. I come from a family of seven kids. That happened to me over and over again.
Well, that's why I wondered if it was, you know, germs. I mean,
yes.
Not germ, but
no, I agree.
Bacteria.
Yes, I totally agree. My mother, every time one of us came home, if one of us came down with the mumps, we all got it intentionally. If one of us came down with the measles, we all got it. One of us came down with the German measles, we all got it intentionally. That way we all had built up immunity, and it wouldn't be, she wouldn't be walking through it for seven different kids over the period of 6 months. It all got done in a couple of weeks. End of story.
Right.
So now we're looking at the next point here. Okay. And this gets a little iffy. So we're going to try and explain this. I don't know, in a fashion that, I'm going to take it down from the scientific fashion. I'm going to take it down to language that you and I would use every day. Okay. Basically, they need the last remaining age group, which is children, infants, babies, to be induced under the EAU, the Emergency Use Authorization, because once the emergency is finally declared over, and here's where that could get sticky, and I don't want to go through all of those pieces, okay? Once the emergency is finally declared over, the next phase of liability shielding for the big pharma industry is that the shots receive approval by the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, ACIP. Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. Once the vaccine is on the childhood vaccination schedule, the vaccine makers are permanently shielded from liability for injuries and deaths that occur at any age, including adults. So in other words, they've already got the elderly. They've already got the middle of the road. They've already got the youngsters. They've already got the children from five up. The only group they didn't have was the six-month-old to five-year-old. So what needed to happen? Regardless of the fact, you've got 21 people on this board. All of them are supposed to be professionals. 21 people sitting there knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt, because you cannot tell me they are not aware of the fact that the chances of a child dying, never mind getting sent to the hospital, from COVID-19 is far, I don't know, worse than 0.0008%. So what you've got is an absolute 21 out of 21. Okay? They all decide with hardly any debate whatsoever that these children should all receive the most dangerous pharmaceutical product ever used on humanity. I'm going to say that again. These children, well, actually, I'm going to take it to the next level, but I'm going to reiterate some points I already gave you. These children have a better chance of dying riding in your car. These children have a better chance of dying riding their bike. These children have a better chance of dying sucking on a lollipop or eating a peach. But yet, where is the CDC and the ACIP or any of these organizations I've mentioned? Where are they when it comes to telling us we are not allowed to put our children in our car anymore? We are not allowed to buy our children bikes anymore. We are not allowed to give our children lollipops anymore. Can I go on? I can give you 1,000 things that have a higher percentage of your child dying than COVID-19.
So we're at the break, Roger.
We're at a break?
Yep.
Okay. Pick this up on the other side because it's getting better or worse.
Right.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right. So, I've given you guys a lot of facts. And none of this is guesswork. And this article will be available to you on the Liberty Beacon tomorrow, thelibertybeacon.com, okay? Embedded in the show, all right, Eagle's Eye Report. And you can't miss it. It's got a big animated eagle on the front of the featured image. This is where you can go to literally go through this entire article, watch all of the videos. Of course, you won't get all of the, which I put a lot of my own stuff in there. You won't get that, but you will get what you need to understand the intent of this article. You will get what you need, I promise. And again, you've got 4 or 5 phenomenal videos. I strongly recommend you watch each one of them. They're all a piece of the puzzle. Okay, so the last thing I said is, in order for these people to have indemnity, what they need to do, once the vaccine for the childhood vaccination schedule, which is the 6-month-old to 5-year-old, the vaccine makers are permanently shielded from liability for injuries and death that occur at any age or any age group, including adults. Okay, this is absolutely necessary. It doesn't matter, because if you're going to tell me that Pfizer and Moderna don't know for a fact that these things are harming our children and have the potential to do more harm to our children than anything they've ever produced, if you're going to tell me that, I'm going to ask you if you're a moron or an idiot. I just got done telling you that out of 4,500 people or children that went through the vaccine trials in this age group, 3,000 of them went away and they won't tell us why. But usually in a vaccine trial, you don't go away unless you're having such adverse reactions to the vaccine that leaving you in that trial could mean your demise. And if they knowingly do this, they'll be charged with murder. Oh my goodness, what did Roger just say? So they know for a fact the amount of damage that these things have the capability of doing to children from 6 months to 5 years old. They know this, okay? But in order to get full indemnity, in order to be immune from being sued for these COVID vaccines going forward, no matter how many, whether it's Omicron, whether it's B-Micron, whether it's Beam Me Up, Scotty, no matter how many iterations it goes through and how many of these COVID vaccines they churn out, they will be immune once this emergency use authorization goes away and once this panel reconvenes and says, okay, you're cool. That means that they have every single age group covered. And this is the only one they don't have covered right now. They have every single age group covered, and they can never be sued again. They can't. No matter if you can prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you can prove it in vaccine court, what's going to happen is vaccine court may award you a couple $100,000, and you'll sign a little piece of paper when you get that check stating, if you open your mouth about any of this, we're going to take our money back. Yeah. And that comes from your tax money. That doesn't come from Big Pharma. Yeah. Or it comes from an extra dollar or two on each vaccine that's given out. Yeah. So let's go over real quick. What were the four criteria that had to be met in order for these things to even get emergency use authorization for these infants and toddlers? What were the criteria? There must be an emergency. We all know that's been gone for a while. Number two, the vaccine must be at least 30 to 50% effective. It's not effective at all. If you can get it, if your body can store it, and if you can give it to somebody else, it has zero effectiveness. Okay? By definition of a vaccine, zero effectiveness. That's number two. The known and potential benefits of the product must outweigh the known and potential risk of the product. We know that's an absolute fact. For this age group, it doesn't. Because the known and potential risks, 3,000 out of 4,500 had to go away. Why? Because they had already been damaged, or they had signs of damage that were showing beyond a shadow of a doubt they shouldn't be in the trial. So they were removed from the trial. So number three again, the known and potential benefits of the product must outweigh the known and potential risks of the product. Number three, that's another one that doesn't work. And number four, there must be no adequate approved and available alternative treatments. And we do have ivermectin and we do have hydroxychloroquine, and they have been proven to work, and the side effects are almost, not quite, but almost non-existent in comparison. So what does this all boil down to? I'm going to give you a sentence here. I want you to listen to this, because this is an absolute fact. Roger doesn't get this worked up. Roger doesn't turn a 60-minute show into a 90-minute show unless he really wants to make sure that when he goes away, this has made an impression on you. So this is what I'm going to tell you. Big Pharma will knowingly kill or maim your children in order to protect their profits and prevent corporate liabilities or genocide anyone. With everything I've just told you, I double dog dare anybody to push back against what I just said. Do they know these things could kill your children? Yep. Do they know that their risk to COVID-19 is almost non-existent at all? Yep. So why are they doing it? They cannot get indemnity without it. So in order to get indemnity, they're going to have to vaccinate, not once, not twice, three times with the Pfizer vaccine and twice with the Moderna vaccine. They're going to have to vaccinate your children multiple times, and millions, tens of millions of children across the planet. And of course, they'll make a profit off each of one of those. They will. But the big kicker here is it's what closes the gate. It closes the door to their, or, well, I don't want to say opens the door. It basically seals their ability to have indemnity. People can't go after them. And how many people do you think want at this point to go after Big Pharma because of the vaccine harm and the vaccine damage that's already being caused? How many sports players have we seen literally drop dead on the field due to myocarditis? How many? How many women have had stillbirths or just spontaneous abortions? How many? How many women are literally sterile? How many women are poisoning their children? Vaccinated women are poisoning their children by feeding them their breast milk that is affected by these vaccinations. How many? Do a little research, people. We already know this, but yet 21 people, okay, jumped up and without a moment's hesitation, the Verb Pack voted to allow this to happen to your children. The unanimous vote, 21-0, to grant emergency use authorization to both Pfizer and Moderna's COVID shots for infants and young children. 21-0. Why? It's like I said, if anybody can poke a hole in anything I've said today, please put your information tomorrow on the LibertyBeacon.com on the article with this show embedded in it. And not only will I go through that information and neither poke holes in it like you wouldn't believe, or give ground and kiss your butt on Broadway at high noon and allow you to sell tickets for it. None of this comes from me, although it all falls within the purview of the information that I have spent a lot of time researching. It backs up a lot of what I've been saying for a decade, not a month, not a year, not 5 years, over a decade. All of this information comes straight from research and doctors. All of this information is a matter of record. The one thing you're never going to hear from the CDC or the FDA are all of these pieces put together in one place at one time. So they make something they don't want you to have. And you know what that is? It's called sense. We're looking at something that shouldn't make any sense to anybody. And then someone like Roger steps up, or someone like Dr. Joseph Mercola steps up, and I could go on. There's a list as long as your arm, which makes me so happy, of actual people who know what they're doing and can back up everything they say, who are stepping up to say, humanity is intentionally being culled. Oh my God, did Roger really say that? We already have doctors across the planet, and yes, I'm going there, who have stated over and over again, or asked the question first, when's the last time we had a flu season? And that's what COVID-19 is supposed to be. It's a coronavirus. A coronavirus is the flu. That's exactly what it is, okay? And we also know that the massive amount of deaths they supposedly recorded and the massive amount of people that had COVID-19 were all because of an extremely faulty test, that those who designed the test scream bloody murder, don't use it for that, it's not accurate, it's not going to work, you're going to get a bunch of false positives. How many false positives they get? Well, it's estimated that it's well over 95%, and this was used globally. What did that give them a chance to do? That gave them a chance to tell you that this is the biggest pandemic, global pandemic, the world has ever seen. I'm going to change one letter. The biggest plandemic the globe has ever seen. What did that allow them to do? That allowed them to vaccinate you. The amount of unrelated deaths going on in the planet right now is starting to come out in every single country. Every country where a lot of these vaccinations were done, which was just about every country on the planet. They are seeing unrelated deaths double. Meaning that they're telling us this is not related to COVID. It's unrelated. Okay. Then you explain to me how global deaths can double in 1 year when that's never happened in the history of this planet. You explain to me what is the only one thing that has changed over the last 2 years that could be responsible for this. You explain to me why the largest amount of unrelated death increases are in the most vaccinated nations. Oh, but that's just a coincidence, right? That's just a coincidence. Where are we at, Steve? I mean, do you understand? I know you understand this, but do you understand where I'm going with this?
Yes, I do. I wanted to add something.
Oh, duh.
You know, I've been reading The Real Anthony Fauci by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Well, just from yesterday's reading, there was a couple of parts that I went over. They went through the early 1990s and the mid-1990s. I mean, the AIDS crisis goes back all the way to, what is that, 1980 or something like that.
Yep.
But anyways, they were virtually using the same playbook right now. They would record any death that was attributed for someone to have had HIV/AIDS. Didn't matter how they died, whether it was a car crash or a stroke, a heart attack, or whatever the case was. They coded it as HIV/AIDS.
In a lot of cases, if they would say they did have AIDS, and if they died from anything other than AIDS, they would call it an AIDS death. But in a lot of cases, they snuck in a lot of deaths where people didn't even have AIDS, but they were called AIDS-related deaths. But let's go back to what I had just said. Unrelated deaths globally. What it would take for deaths in countries like Israel, in countries like the United States, in countries like the UK, in countries like Canada, unrelated deaths to double would be beyond anything you could imagine. That is such a huge number in 1 year or even 2 years. It's insane. But yet we're being told this has nothing to do with vaccines. That number is on the increase globally like you wouldn't believe. When I say genocide, I don't say it loosely, but in order to step up the game, because far too many people are becoming aware, there's far too many people like me and Stephen out there telling you what's actually going on, and people are starting to wake up. In order to accomplish as much as they possibly can, to literally cull us as much as they possibly can, they need to get into a scenario whereby they can put these vaccines globally in as many people as possible. And no matter who dies or how many people die, they cannot be sued. They cannot be sent to prison. This is what they're looking for. This is the indemnity issue. This is why it's very important that they step up to kill our children, or they step up to maim our children, or they step up to put our children and our babies in situations none of us would ever put them in. But they're telling you, hey, these vaccines are safe and effective. They're telling you that your six-month-old may, I don't know, pick up, you know, at a nursery or something, may pick up some COVID-19. So in order to be on the safe side, you should give your child the most dangerous, not one, not two, but three shots of the most dangerous pharmaceutical product ever used on humanity so that we don't get sick. That is medically so unethical. It would get you in prison. But this is exactly what they're saying. When did Fauci ever worry about going to prison lately? How many things that Fauci has said, how many people died from lockdowns? You would be totally amazed to understand that lockdowns are responsible for tens of millions of deaths. And they knew for a fact before they ever did it that it wouldn't work. They knew that. Okay? When was the last time Fauci or anybody else, like, I don't know, Cuomo, who made sure you had a mask on or else, when's the last time any one of those were put into prison? Do you know how many people have died because they have constantly rebreathed? Look, when you exhale the bad stuff. When you inhale the good stuff. That's the way your body works. Inhaling brings in the oxygen. Exhaling gets rid of things that are toxic to the body. You put a mask on somebody's face and you tell them they've got to wear it 18 hours a day, 7 days a week for months on end. All they are doing is rebreathing the same toxins that the body has been trying to get rid of. How many people do you think have died as a result of mask mandates that they absolutely knew for a fact would not work? They would do more harm than good. How many people are in jail? How many? We're talking about just between those two issues alone, probably tens of millions of deaths globally, a higher number than you would ever dare to imagine. And then we go to the vaccines. And now we're doing this to our children. Anything to say, Stephen?
Well, I didn't get a chance to ask you yesterday, but I was going to ask you and Luca what you two thought was the biggest secret that they have to keep hidden, no matter what.
The biggest secret they need to keep hidden?
Yeah.
I would tell you the biggest secret they need to keep hidden is the amount of death that's going to be, that is already on the uprise from these vaccines. And in order to keep it hidden, you've got the border, you've got baby formula, you've got the Ukraine, you've got, and I could go on and on. That is the biggest secret that has to be hidden on this planet right now, because the amount of people dying is rising on a daily basis.
Well, what I meant was in general, not just this particular subject.
So why don't you tell me? Because in my eyes, that is the biggest thing.
Well, they have no power and no authority over us.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. And that's what they have to keep hidden at all costs. They will sacrifice any of their little minions that they have to.
Of course. Absolutely. Anybody who thinks that someone like Joe Bob is irreplaceable is an idiot. The only reason Joe Bob's sitting in the office and the only reason Kamala's sitting next to him is because they are so compromised, they will do everything and anything they're told to do. And that's another show. Probably next week, we're going to get into that a little bit deeper. I'm going to actually go into the levels that both Kamala and Joe Bob are compromised to and why they had to be in the Oval Office and why Trump absolutely couldn't be. But that's next week's show. So again, we've got what, about 8 minutes, Steve?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
All right. I'd like to do a quick synopsis of what we've been talking about. All right. I have told you, everybody listening, the danger to our children. Okay. But I would really like to beat that up one more time. Okay. What is the danger to our children? What is it that puts them at risk? Statistics show the rate of COVID-associated hospitalization among children aged 5 to 11 is 0.0008%. This is a statistic. It's not a guess. This is a proven statistic. And deaths are even more rare. That could be 0.000008, which means it just doesn't happen. This is in real world terms. That's so close to zero, you basically can't go any lower. Yet, despite such reassuring data, children in this age group are urged to get 2 or 3 doses of a COVID jab, even though the side effects of the injection would harm them for life or kill them. In other words, it is a fact that the supposed cure is far more dangerous to these children than the disease would ever be. But until that happens, until those children take those shots, until the emergency use authorization was authorized, which it was 21-0, until that happened, then Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson never had a chance at full indemnity. Never had a chance, which means all of the death and the massive harm that's being done by these vaccines across the planet on an ever-increasing number every single day, they could be held liable for. Let me tell you all something, okay? I don't care how lawful you want to be. I don't care what you throw in front of me, what book you throw in front of me that says this is a law and you will stick to it. When enough parents realize that their children are dying, when enough parents realize that their children are being sacrificed in the name of profit and indemnity for a corporation, when enough parents realize that none of this had to happen, no law is going to make any difference whatsoever. And we're getting there. Anything to say about that, Steve?
I concur. I totally agree. The hit is going to set the fan pretty soon.
I like the way you put that. Uh-huh. And again, it's up to people. And people ask me, why do you do what you do, Roger? Do you do it for fame? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Do you do it for money? Let me tell everybody out there, and this is an absolute fact. Every single penny I get each month, every single penny I bring into this house each month, either goes to pay for food for the refrigerator, bills to keep the lights and the internet on, or the servers and stuff we need to keep this project up and running. I don't even know who my neighbors are a half a mile down the street. I have no clue. I've never met them, and I've been in this house 5 years. This is the dedication I have. Am I in this for fame? Hell no. Am I in it for the money? Oh my God, no. Am I in it for recognition? That's part true. And how can that be part true? The recognition I want is the fact that you know when I step up to say something, you can trust it. And it's something you're going to listen to. And it's a football you're going to pick up and run with. So if anybody asks me why I do this every day at the level I do this at, why I get so angry and why I put out the things that I think have to be put out, it's for recognition, but not recognition for me. It's recognition of the fact that this is Roger. I know I can trust him. What's he talking about today? Let me go to the Liberty Beacon tomorrow and see what that article is, and maybe I can do a little bit more research. And there's no money making ads or whatever on any of our websites. So if you think I'm trying to send people to the website so we can get more money, we don't have any ads. We have no corporate ads at all. You go to TLB Talk, social media platform. If you guys don't put $5 in the bucket, we go broke. We shut the door. No corporate ads. When I tell you this is about you, I damn right well better be able to prove that. And I can. So everything we've been talking about today, everything Steve and I have put in front of you, boils down to this. Okay? I gave you a sentence at the end of my initial presentation before I went into my scenario talk, which I do, which I've just been doing. I do it the last part of every one of my shows. But I read you a sentence and I'm going to read it to you again. Okay. So Big Pharma will knowingly kill and maim our children in order to protect their profits and prevent corporate liabilities or genocide anyone. Now, with everything you've heard and all of it can be proven, do you think that's too harsh? Because I sure as the hell don't. It's like I said to you earlier, my pulpit's not high enough and my megaphone's not loud enough. And with that, Stephen, I'll give you the last word.
The last word.
You're on the spot.
Yes, I know. Think for yourselves, people. Until next time.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We do appreciate you. And please take away from this what you need to take away from it. And if you've got children and you've ignored this, don't come complaining to me. I'll have no pity for you.
My mommy didn't want me. My daddy went away. Somebody said get rid of me. Just throw me away. The doctor came.
fees, and if you brought your payment, the doctor will see you now.
Some choice.
Oh, all right, I get it. You screw up.